First of all, congratulations, Mohamed. You returned from the safe trip from Mexico. You know, the cartel didn't get you, so I'm really happy about that. How was your trip, by the way?
Oh, man, it was amazing.
All right, look at this. This man, guys, he came right back from his flight straight to Camille's joint just to watch the Eagles. Like, he probably had a great day.
At halftime. Eagles Giants game.
Had a great day.
I had a fantastic day, yeah. You
know? I was in the air. Like, I was trying to stream the game from the plane.
Shame on you. Like, you know the schedule, and you decided to book a flight. You definitely thought you was going to make it. You thought y'all was going to play on Sunday.
Sunday, exactly.
Yeah, you thought.
Exactly.
But you didn't.
That's the thing. Yo, I was speaking into existence. I mean, the thing is, like, I manifested the number one seed. I was thinking about it the whole time. I booked this trip assuming that we would lock up the number one seed.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, we don't have it on lock. And before Jalen got hurt, I booked this trip in November.
So you were banking on Sunday, you guys were playing. So you were banking on the Vikings winning. The Vikings, who you weren't impressed with at all. We're banking on the Vikings winning. Also, why would the NFL make that game, Eagles and Vikings, where we already saw you guys fuck them up in week two, make that a Sunday game?
I would assume that the number one seed gets a 2 full weeks from Sunday to next the following Sunday.
Yo, already got a week off. What the fuck?
Look, it's the number one seed. We earned that bye. We earned the right to have that week off.
All right, well, you know. Okay, well, let's get right into it then. I think you're a bold man for that. Because imagine if they were down for 17-14.
That was my fear, but thank God it was only an hour
play. This man was stuck in fucking Cleveland. Like,
I feel like me watching the game helps them win.
You know, like, maybe it does the opposite effect. Like, what if you might have to not watch them for the first half of Sunday, this Sunday?
I mean, assuming that we get tickets, I'd be there, you know, an hour before kickoff.
You heard that here, guys. Mohamed is not superstitious.
We will be there in person. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
I already know what that means.
Inshallah.
We already know what that means.
I mean, thank God. Every time, like, the Eagles are, like, down and need a big play, we always pray to God, you know?
And guess who comes up with a big play? Hassan Reddick.
Hassan Reddick, our fellow Muslim brother.
CJG. CGJ. CD Deuce. The real CD.
All right, well, let's talk about the NFC side in the divisional round. I guess we'll start right with it. Giants, Eagles. I know we had Camille last time, our casual Giants fan, our casual Giants expert on the pod last time. He told me to stop calling him a casual Giants fan. If y'all knew this man, y'all would definitely call him a casual Giants fan.
He thought the Eagles were going to lose.
He took the jersey off.
He took the damn jersey off. Which, you know, I don't blame him. I would have turned the game off. I could not watch that.
See, you could wear a Saquon Barkley jersey and somewhat pride.
I'm in this house as an Eagles fan, just like, yo, I soaked in every second of that.
Oh, you should have been there from the first play, bro. That first drive.
So if you guys,
Dallas Goedert punching people.
Are you going to steal his TV if you guys win the NFC?
Absolutely.
Absolutely not. No.
You guys should donate. You should.
If anything, I will offer to help him hang it up on the wall if he purchases a TV mount.
Dude, okay. Like the fact that we got rid of the one TV where we watched in your apartment that...
Well, you did not want that TV. This man...
That TV was a heap of space.
This man, maybe you are a little... You're a little stitious. Not superstitious, just a little stitious. This man wanted my big back TV. You know, like the old school...
The joints that show two different brightness levels at two different parts of the screen. Like, the bottom screen is, like, half dark.
Like, the big back ones, man. Like, the ones you had in, like, your grandma's basement type shit, bro.
Like, literally impossible to pick up by yourself.
You did watch the entire playoff run on that.
Started with a 61-yarder field goal.
Yeah. So
against the Giants, the G-men.
All right, well,
we were undefeated in that TV.
We did have to. We did have to dump that TV because that shit was...
You couldn't pick it up. That was a hazard.
Not getting it up the stairs. I thought I was gonna die. Like, if that shit fell on me, somebody would have been flattened.
I wonder what happened to it right now. It definitely has mold around it.
So when I got rid of it, I just tossed it out. Yeah.
The unneedables.
The guy, my landlord, tried to tell me, he was like, you can't just throw that out, man. Like, I gotta pay some money. I'm like, bro, like, I'm not sure.
Hey, man, I just paid you like 12 grand for rent.
That's the life of a landlord.
That's on you, brother.
You can have better get rid of that shit. You have my money and you have that TV.
Like shit. Like,
yeah, price gouging landlord. Can't believe he's charging $900 a month for that apartment.
But okay, back to the game, man. Let's get right into it. So 31-7. I know we were here with Camille talking about how it's
38-38.
38-7?
Yep.
So 31 points. Okay, that's where I got.
That's what you guys do. You guys replace me with the delusional Giants fan. I'm gone.
Look, he wasn't as delusional. I liked what I saw out of the Giants. I liked what they did against the Vikings.
Yeah, we
literally said, I was here on the pod, I said, if they do what they did against the Vikings, which they didn't, they abandoned the run game completely. I think they panicked when they got to 14-0. Y'all was ready for Daniel Jones and his running ability, which I think that was it. But it just kind of upset me that the Giants kind of gave up. But I want to hear, like, your guys' reaction.
On the first drive, like, they kind of looked like they were moving after we scored that first touchdown with Smitty. With Dallas. Dallas got the first touchdown. But then they went for it on 4th and 8, just outside the red zone. Could have went for a really long field goal, but instead they're like, no, fuck, it's the playoffs. We got to go for it now. These guys already got off to a hot start. And Daniel Jones, just before that 4th and 8, self-sacks himself. He trips. He got credit with the stop. I think it was Hassan Reddick. But
Hassan Reddick got two sacks back-to-back.
Yeah, one of them was credited half-sack. I'll give it the half-sack to Daniel Jones. It was a self-sack. but yeah. They were just outmatched in every facet. Like, the wide receivers balled out. Smitty balled out. Our tight end literally went all over, like, punching everybody. Dallas Goedert looked amazing. He looked better than, I would say, George Kittle.
Yeah, I remember when there was this one, like, the holes, the running lanes were huge.
They were gaping, bro. And that's also a credit to Lane Johnson being back as well.
There was one guy who literally got blocked out of the screen.
Jason Kelce had a one-handed pancake.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, the O-line, shout out to y'all.
Yeah, it just looks like the Giants to me didn't come to play.
I mean,
it's kind of sad in my opinion. But
the reason why the Giants didn't come to play is because the Eagles came to play.
Yeah.
Just how, like, going back to seeing Lane Johnson in the lineup, having him back changes everything.
Everything.
And a healthy Jalen Hurts. I mean, the Giants just got outmanned. They got punched in the face, and they just couldn't take it. Like, even like the final seconds of the game, you know, the last play of the game, the drop back pass, and the receiver James gets popped by a third stringer.
Yeah, Job.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck is that. Yeah,
shout out to you, Job.
It's like, well, why are you like this 38-7? There's no need to like add insult to injury by dropping back and just setting your receiver up to fail like that. And that was Daniel Jones.
I think Daniel Jones reverted back to his fuckboy ways. Which is sad, just like that's kind of how we're going to remember him.
Yeah.
After a great season. And it's,
he's not bad. Like, okay, he got outmatched. Giants got outmatched. Going into next year, I don't think he's going to be terrible. I think he might be the same that he was this year. But at the same time, he's got others to worry about in the division as well. Like, we saw Dak go down in terrible fashion against the 49ers. But he didn't make as many turnovers and mistakes as Dak Prescott. So I think there's some upside for him for next season. But at the same time, who are his receivers? Who are the weapons he's throwing to? It's only Saquon.
Well, I mean, they had a guy they signed in Kenny Galladay that they just decided not to.
$36 million for one touchdown.
I'm seriously.
That's an expensive touchdown.
That's very much an expensive touchdown. But you know, it to me, like when I watch this game, I mean, me and Charles were going nuts because, like, I know for a fact, like,
shout out to Charles.
There should have been four teams in the NFC East in the playoffs. And honestly, we should have been in there instead of the Giants.
Low-key, yeah.
It should have been, like, look, if we look back at it, the one game that killed us was the game.
The Monday night game.
The Sunday night game, yeah, the no-call.
Yeah,
or something. Interference all over freaking Curtis Samuel, no-call.
That game, if y'all win that game.
The legal procedure on Terry.
Yeah, y'all switch spots.
That's us in the playoffs. That's really us in the playoffs. And I think we would have gave you guys a little better run for your money. Whereas, even if y'all killed us 31-14,
it wouldn't have been one score.
It would have been. And I'm over here, like, last week, I ate my words because I really thought it would be a one score game. I thought it'd be 21-14. I thought it'd be a lot of defense. But just goes to show you, Omar, you mentioned it. He has nobody to throw the ball to Daniel Jones. You know? I mean, he missed some guys, and I'm upset that he missed some open plays. But also, they got away from the run game, and that was huge for them. They could have done more RPOs. I thought they just, like, could stick the hand the ball off to your best player and Saquon Barkley. I didn't see, like, the first half, but nine rushes, bro. Nine rushes in the entire game? Come on now. Come on now.
Yeah. Like, that's a star player on the team. Like, I know Isaiah Hodgins had two good games against the Vikings in the last, like, month. But still, this is the difference between the quality of teams between the Eagles and the Vikings and the Giants and the Vikings is that the Eagles are on the very top, whereas you have the Giants just above the Vikings. Because the Vikings just had a really poor secondary that can make any wide receiver look great.
It's upsetting to me, too, as well. It's just like, you know, the Giants are very hype. And, you know, I'm seeing on social media a lot of their fans are, like, chirping with a lot of Eagles fans and stuff like that. They felt like the Eagles were disrespecting them in a way.
I didn't see any Eagles disrespecting them.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but, I mean, anybody looked like they were kind of, like, taking this game lightly. It looked like it was the Giants.
It was definitely
the Giants. Yeah, the walking your trap shit.
They did that shit the Commanders did.
Oh, Dabble telling the players, like, you know, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Coach Sirianni took disrespect to that.
Yeah, no, it's upsetting because, like, well, I mean, Sirianni is the definition of, like, I took that shit personally. Like,
very.
He takes a lot.
You know how many times? I wish they could just mic him up so we could see how many times he cusses out the ref.
He said that to Mike McCarthy after we lost to Dallas on Christmas.
Yeah.
We didn't end up seeing Dallas.
This man might be a Dallas spy, Nick Sirianni. You better watch out for this guy. He probably was a little upset that they got rid of Jason Garrett or something like that. I don't know, but it just annoys me because, like, it seemed to me that the Giants kind of, like, they were clearly overachievers because after they – only one person – I talked about last week. Only one person on the team looked like he was really serious about being more than just a one-and-done team, and that was Saquon. And, you know, it's really upsetting. And now they're in the offseason, and they got a lot of questions. They have the Saquon question. You got to pay Saquon. They have the Daniel Jones question. What are you going to do with Daniel Jones? They have to figure out what to do with Kenny Galladay, receiver.
So they're both still on their rookie contract, right?
The Giants end of it? Will be good. They have a lot
what's
to build
his
off
name?
Of, though.
I believe Saquon, they already exercised Saquon's fifth-year option.
Oh, so he needs to get signed right away. Or can they franchise tag him?
They could franchise him, but that would be a lot of money.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of money.
It would be a lot of money for 1 year and no guarantee. Daniel Jones, I think you're probably going to have to give him a contract that's less than $30 million a year.
Oh,
100%. Yeah, like, you can't give this guy, like, you can't even give him the Carson Wentz one-year deal.
Look, the thing is, with the, I mean, we'll talk about a lot about that, like, when we do, like, off-season or off-season stuff, but thing is, with the Daniel Jones thing, like, there's a lot of ways they can go. They can sign him. I think they end up signing him. I think there's a lot to work with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And I think you get him a lot cheaper than a lot of the other quarterbacks. But also, a sign and trade is a possibility. Like, we don't know. It looks like a lot of quarterbacks can be on the move. Aaron Rodgers, we don't know the Lamar Jackson situation in Baltimore, how that plays out. Derek Carr as well.
And then you still got to worry about.
We really don't know
how that will play. As I said, they got to worry about, you know, just every other position on the team, too. I mean, I know we talked about the receivers. They could develop Hodgins.
That's a good thing. Their team is still relatively young.
Yeah.
But they do need a lot of help. They need linebacker help, I believe. They also need corner help.
Yeah, they should have never cut Blake Martinez.
But the thing is, like, I feel like they have good things to build off of. They were able to make the playoffs with this current roster, which I think is good, but not talented enough to make a playoff run.
Yeah.
And win a playoff game, then, yeah, just add a few more pieces.
So, but, okay.
Give Daniel Jones a franchise tag.
That's what I also want to ask you guys regarding the game. So, obviously, Cowboys took the L to the 49ers. We'll talk more about that game later. But I personally, I'm a little scared for the Eagles going into this matchup at the link against the 49ers. Only reason I'm saying that is just like, and I want you guys' kind of, like, opinion on this and what you guys think. There's the overconfidence, I guess. There's an overconfidence aspect of it, I believe. But also, the team, I believe the Eagles are just a better team right now than the 49ers. I still think it'll be a great game to watch. Edge, I got to give the Eagles just a slight edge, like, about pretty much about everything. Yeah, pretty much. I give the Eagles. Maybe the only thing about nitpicking is linebackers, I guess. That's the only thing I give the Niners.
I mean, TJ Edwards just a slow Fred Warner.
well said.
But so with that being said, I mean, obviously quarterback too, like Jalen Hurts over Brock Purdy, in my opinion.
Correct.
With that being said, I worry about the Eagles in this matchup is because, you know, this team is coming from number one seed, haven't really kind of played like a legitimate football game in about a month. You know, I'll probably go back to maybe the Dallas game, the Christmas Eve Dallas game, maybe even before then, probably. And you know, the layoff, and then coming out and playing a Giants team that kind of like laid the like shat the bed against you guys. And you guys are going to go up against the 49ers team that played there, also played their division opponent in the Seahawks, blew them out. But that was kind of a dogfight for a little bit. And then the Cowboys game was also a dogfight. So this, I worry that this game could be a little like trappish kind of game for the Eagles in a sense that, you know, maybe kind of a little bit overlooking their team, the opponent, or just you guys aren't ready for that moment, whereas the 49ers might be a little more prepared just from their recent playoff matchups. If the Giants gave you guys a better game, I think it would have. I think I would feel differently, but I want to hear what you guys have to say. Like, that's what, like, I don't know where it's coming from, but.
Well, yeah, there's always, this is going to be the best team that the Eagles have faced all year, and, you know, just based on what I've read and heard in the media, it's
far from, saw.
Yeah, and what I saw, what I mean, you know, this team is actually in, you know, truly focused. They know the task at hand. You know, it's hard to say that they're not focused. Nick Sirianni is on point. You know, the team is getting healthier as well too. Just coming off a dominant performance. As a matter of fact, I mean, we can't for sure say if, like, you know, not being really tested by the Giants, is it, you know, a benefit or will it hurt this team? But, you know, all you can do is play the guys that are in front of you. And the Giants, the previous week, you know, they they went on the road and stole a, you know, a game from a 13-win team.
Yeah.
You know? Now, granted, like, it's the Vikings, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a playoff game no matter what. These are the seven best teams in each conference.
Yeah, the Vikings aren't slouches. I mean, clearly, like, people who know ball saw the deficiencies in the Vikings, it just kind of worries me a little bit because, again, it's just a long layoff and, like, are the Eagles going to be ready to be in that dogfight?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think really what it comes down to is this. Like, we saw the Cowboys shut down the run game. They shut down CMC. He's probably going to be the second or third best probably the first or second best running back we faced this season. We also faced Derrick Henry and shut him down for most of the game.
Oh, correct.
Yeah, we shut down the run game, and we really just get this boy Brock Purdy flustered. I mean, I know it's going to be hard because they also have a tough defense. It's going to be interesting to see Jordan Mailata face off with Nick Bosa and on the other side with Lane Johnson as well. But really what it comes down to for me is who can win you a Super Bowl? Is it going to be Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy? Jalen Hurts.
I really like how you put it. I really like how you put it there. Because, you know, NFL, they say it all the time. As a quarterback, you win and lose games by the quarterback. And when you put it like that, I mean, for me as a Commanders fan, I'd definitely believe more so that that Jalen Hurts will get the job done. And that's a guy who looks like he could win a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy, on the other hand, though,
He's playing efficiently well. Like, he's doing really well. He's got a great, like we said this last week, he's got great playmakers around him, and he's got great coaches. Like, this is really, like, it's going to be a game where it's going to be a battle of everything. It's not just, I mean, if we can get off to a fast start and get him flustered right away, like a fumble or pick six, which is real hard to come by, especially with their great offensive line. Like, let's not forget they have Trent Williams and a bunch of other great linemen, too, on there, McGlinchey. And it's going to be very interesting to see because these are two high-powered, high-caliber teams, and just one of them is playing with just maybe, a 10% deficiency. If we had maybe Trey Lance healthy, if we had, I'm not going to say if Jimmy G was here or if Brock Purdy was going to lose the game, but I'm not going to say Jimmy G would win the game either. But like, if every position was healthy, like how it was for both games, it'd be very interesting to see who's going to have the ball last and who's going to have the last say on the scoring.
Back, I want to follow up what you say, kind of revert back to my point about like May Eagles not probably being ready, not being prepared for this. You know, also like 49ers, they were in the same position last year, you know?
Yeah.
So this is why I think it's going to be a great matchup. But again, as you mentioned, like it's going to come down to the quarterback, and one quarterback on one side is a rookie, Mr. Irrelevant, but plays big. The other quarterback is the MVP candidate.
Exactly.
So you do that. You do what you will with that information, you know. But let's talk more about the 49ers. You know, they had a game last Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys, where the Cowboys should have won that game. Cowboys should have won that game by all means. And Cowboys, more than one time, I get Brett Maher missed a pretty...
I think it was two.
No. He just missed the extra point.
The extra? Oh, it got blocked. He blocked.
Oh, he got blocked. He's gonna. We watched that. He was.
I think Jerry Jones went down. I think he called him on like the little phone that they used to call the quarterbacks. He's like, get your shit together, bro. We're gonna start going for two.
I have a kicker right here, right now.
My son will kick that ball.
but by all means, the Cowboys should have won that game. No Tony Pollard. They lost Tony Pollard in that game, but it didn't really stop them. CeeDee Lamb went off. It really just came down to Cowboys making mistakes, turning the ball over. Dak Prescott, you're turning the ball over in bad situations. Turn the ball over, you go in a chance to take the lead, and you turn the ball over, you know, trying to. So, it's that's kind of concerning for me on the 49ers end. You mentioned Omar, they weren't able to run the ball in the Cowboys. Second week in a row, they were, the Cowboys stuffed the running game. They stuffed Leonard Fournette and the Buccaneers, and they stuffed CMC and that rushing attack. So, I mean, if I'm the Eagles and I'm their defensive line, I'm licking my chops. I'm really licking my chops. Because if that running game is not effective, and if really the only thing that bailed out the 49ers was, of course, Dak Prescott and George Kittle.
George Kittle
really bailed them out on that one circus catch he had. So, but I know the 49ers, they're going to come out with a better game plan, and Eagles are a different beast than themselves. But, you know, Fred Warner said after the game, man, he summed up, he was like, that was far from our perfect game. Like, we know we could play a lot better. And I expect to see a lot better performance on Sunday afternoon against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Shout out to Fred Warner. He's a fucking fantastic linebacker.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy the 49ers a lot, outside of playing them this week, obviously. I think they have a great...
I do watch them play. I really...
I think they're fantastic. Yeah. Even, like, with Brock Purdy, dog, like, they are a great football team.
They're a great football team to watch, for sure. And just seeing what they did to the Cowboys offense, holding them to 12 points, I mean...
CeeDee Lamb did ball out.
Again, but, well, man, CeeDee Lamb balled out. He probably... I think he should have got more targets.
He should have just been force-feeding him.
No Tony Pollard. And also, I mean, we talked about it. Like, Dak kind of fucked up, man. Dak turned the ball over.
And the guy they've been picking on...
there was, like, 238 passing yards, like, given up by the 49ers. Like, they didn't really give up any yards, bro. I know Tony Pollard went out. But still, yeah, CeeDee Lamb went out, like... Statistically speaking, most teams will get that kind of production from two or three receivers, but that entire passing attack just flowed through CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, because they had a plan for Dalton Schultz this time. Unlike the Buccaneers are terrible at defending.
No, they were too physical for Dalton Schultz. Yeah. Dalton Schultz was not ready to play.
They were so physical, the man ran out of bounds at the end of the game. He didn't even know what he was doing. Yeah.
Like, so, offensively, I think we learned a little bit about the Cowboys. Defensively, they're dogs. Their dogs on defense. I'll give them that.
Michael Parsons, game record. Shout out to him.
Yeah, they're dogs on defense. Offensively, they're soft outside of CeeDee Lamb.
It's the same story with them.
Zeke, bro, Tony Pollard goes out with injury. You still couldn't muster shit, bro.
And
I think he had 9 rushes for 21 yards or something like that.
Also, like, you know, some embarrassing news that came out of that game was when Jerry Jones came down on the field to talk to Maher after Maher was missing.
Yeah, we mentioned that. Yeah,
I want to know what he's going through the yips at the worst time in the season, bro. Your kicker going through the yips. But look, Maher is not the blame. But
Dak Prescott.
Is
like Jerry Jones going down in the field with, as a kicker, would that be comforting or like holy shit?
No, he threatened him. Shit. Here comes Boss Man. In the middle of a divisional playoff game.
I ain't never seen Boss Man come and say shit to Dak.
He coming to me.
I ain't see Boss Man come say shit to Zeke.
He usually has a phone that he calls from.
Yeah. During pregame warmups.
Dude.
I ain't see Boss Man come down for that, but he gonna come down for me?
He's like, oh, that's a nice foot you got there. Guess what? Nah, my son can do better.
Jerry thought he was gonna have the magical touch.
No, don't ask. Look, he made a field goal. Maher made a field goal. Like, that was more important, I feel like. 3 points is more than
one. Way better than one. And
the worst part is, in the grand scheme of things, that extra point did seem to matter because it ended up being final score 19-12. So,
yeah.
I mean, it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things because the Cowboys.
Cowboys couldn't get yards in the matter the most.
That kind of folded, man. You know,
the thing is, the 49ers, they had such a vanilla game plan. It was just, you know, run the football. And then play.
That's what they want to do at the end of the day. The 49ers are useless. The thing is,
they're going to play the field position game. That's what they were doing. That's what they did to the Cowboys.
Here's the thing.
Get 40, 50, 60-yard drives, but, you know, you're not driving the whole length of the field. We're going to make you start at the 3-yard line if you want to get those yards.
And they rely on the kicker.
But here's the thing also with the 49ers. Like, we're really forgetting it. Everyone's talking about Brock Purdy this, Brock Purdy that. Oh, my God, he hasn't lost a start or whatever. Yeah, but still, they got to vanilla down the offense for him.
Yeah.
If that running game is not working, nothing's working for the 49ers.
The one thing that's working.
Everything falls off their running game and their play action.
Exactly. The one thing that works for them really well is just their defense. Like, their second half defense is absolutely incredible. Yeah. Like, they shut teams down. Like, really, like, they play to the last minute.
Like that. Yeah. They've been like.
So all year.
This is what, since 2019? Since 2019.
Since Robert Saleh was their coordinator.
Yeah, they have been that kind of defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Bosa, like, that's a constant guy.
It's that personality that, you know, they reinforce that mindset when they're in the locker room, so it permeates throughout the whole team.
So, but that's the thing. So, it's going to be really interesting to see, because if that running game doesn't work in Philadelphia, what do you do next?
You got to throw it.
Because Debo's going
to
be covered
by... Oh, you might have to run it with Debo, though.
I guess, yeah. Debo's going to be covered by Darius, by Slay.
Yeah.
Who's their other receiver, I guess?
Ayuk, and then they got Kittle.
But the thing is, they didn't even use Ayuk. Like, Ayuk was nobody in the other game.
I don't think Brock Purdy gets him the ball the way he likes it. All right,
the key to this game is going to be the Eagles' pass rush versus the 49ers' offensive line.
Yeah.
And you were talking about Micah Parsons as a game record, but I want to talk about somebody who's also equally in that conversation, but plays for a similar team in that division, which is the Eagles, and it's Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick's a game changer as well, too. We saw what he did to the Giants. He killed their first drive. They were moving the ball in the first drive.
I believe this is Hassan Reddick's first playoff appearances as well. He was last year with the Cardinals.
I would love to put him in.
No, he was with the
Panthers last year.
Yeah, he was with the Panthers.
So,
you mentioned that's... So, you're saying the pass rush versus...
O-line. Battle of the trenches.
Battle of the trenches. That's where it's going to be won up front.
I agree. I mean, we talked about it last game. Like, that's literally where playoff football game is won and lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cowboys should have won that game because I feel like Cowboys won in the trenches. Even though nobody kind of... That game was really, like, so even. The Cowboys and the 49ers. Like,
it was anybody's game to win for, like, up until the third pick. Or a second pick.
Second pick. Yeah. The first pick, he threw it right to the guy.
Lenore.
That was the only touchdown.
Yeah. Dude, it's funny because the media, you know, we love the media, so frankly. Kidding, obviously. They love to pick on people, especially on a good team that's like the 49ers. We just talked about how great their defense is. They were like, what's the one weakness? That guy, Lenore, right? Well, in two back-to-back games in the playoffs, he gets picked.
Look at that.
So now...
Just don't know what
they're talking about. Yeah, like, yo, I have 4 or 5 bad games maybe in a row. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that you're a professional football player.
I think, to most point, it's going to be definitely a battle of the trenches. I feel like all football games won a lot.
Like I said, watch out for that Mailata and Nick Bosa matchup.
I think it's going to be straight up
offense,
defense line. I think the key, the only way the 49ers are going to be able to win this game is if they're able to establish some type of running game.
Yeah, we got...
It's going to be tough for them because, number one, the Eagles are stout defense. And
but, Jordan Davis.
Jordan Davis, Fletcher Cox, all of this.
BG.
That D-line.
Hassan Reddick.
So if the 49ers aren't able to establish the run, you can't really get Kittle involved, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like if they want to win this game, Kittle has to be involved. Kittle has to have a big game.
That's the one.
They won against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that's literally, if they're going to try to come back, I'm thinking the way the game's going to go like this. It's going to be, they're going to try to run through Kittle, and we're just going to be airing it out to Smitty, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. And I see it. That's the one thing, like, I think that the Eagles definitely have the offensive advantage when it comes to that, because, you know, if the 49ers do end up bottling up the run, their secondary is the issue, you know. Jimmy Ward and Talanoa Hufanga are great safeties in their own right, but they're not really coverage safeties, you know. They're really in the box, like playmaking safeties. And
this is going to be too much for them to cover.
Yeah, their corners are very, very iffy, you know. Charvarius Ward and Lenore, you know, I've seen them give up some big plays. Charvarius Ward, as early as the wildcard game, gives up big plays to to DK Metcalf.
Yep. You know?
So I do expect a big game from... I think the 49ers will be able to kind of neutralize some of the running attack, even though Jalen Hurts on those keepers and those RPOs will be huge. But Goddard, I don't think he'll be as much of a factor, but I definitely think the receivers, Devonta and A.J. Brown, will definitely be huge for the Eagles.
You might even see a Quez Watkins big run.
We could see Quez Watkins, too, man.
Like a big last player. Time they played, Quez had a 91-yarder against him.
Yep.
Didn't score. But
his first year.
Last year.
That's why he's third on the depth chart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you remember when? Remember
his feature at all against the Giants?
I haven't seen. Exactly. I haven't seen him since week 2.
You guys didn't need to feature him against the Giants. I literally just ran. Yeah. Like that's what I said. Like
we featured. Guess who?
I tried to get Camille to stop watching the game. I'm like, bro, you don't need to watch this. Like I wouldn't watch this. Like 300 yards rushing in a playoff game. Like almost 300 yards rushing.
It couldn't stop.
Can game with 100 yards? Miles Sanders didn't even have 100 yards.
He had like 80 or 90.
Boston Scott may have had 100 yards, maybe.
I think all I know is that Boston Scott's the biggest lock ever. You ever see this man go against the Giants?
Boston Scott versus the Giants.
Cash in.
It's called Boston Lock.
Boston Lock. Thank you. Put a Toyota Prius on it.
I like it. Score predictions for NFC Championship game at the Link. I believe y'all said y'all going to Philly, right? I hope y'all do.
Yeah, we're working that out.
Y'all already missed the first one.
Yeah, we did.
And remember, because I said, I don't know if y'all, but this chance will ever come again, but look, here we are now.
Here we are now. Final score prediction, I'm going 28-17, Eagles.
I like it. I like that one.
I'm going 34-17.
Nice.
34-17.
Nice.
We can go 28-20.
All right.
We can go 28-20, Eagles.
Could have been you, Cowboys. Could have been you getting the score ran up on you.
28-13. But
you want to take an alternate spread on that?
I like it.
Yeah.
28-13. I think the 49ers.
Because it's going to go either one or two ways. It's going to be like a hard-fought grind to the end, or it's going to be bombs away.
Bombs away can still be a
hard-fought
game, you know? I think it's a close game going to the fourth quarter, and the Eagles cements a really huge drive.
It'll be like a six, seven-minute all-run drive.
A.J. Brown,
lead,
100 yards.
Cut the deficit to the one, and the Eagles get the ball back and go on a time-consuming, deflating drive. And that put it in the end zone to make it 28-20. All right, let's move on to AFC, man. AFC, we'll start with the Jaguars and the Chiefs. Chiefs eke this game out 27-20. The big story out of this game was really the injury to Patrick Mahomes. He left the game early in the second quarter, I believe, and didn't return. He was able to finish the game. He had a sprained ankle. High ankle sprain.
We'll find the day. Today's Wednesday.
But, you know, so he was that's going to be something to monitor throughout the week. But the story of that game was really the running game for the – was really Isaiah Pacheco. I think he, in the second half, really gave the Chiefs the spark they needed to get over the hump.
The Chad Henne drive.
Chad Henne drive.
A 98-yard drive. To score.
Yeah, yeah.
They survived. They survived that. Patrick Mahomes sitting on the sideline, furious. He's like, "All right, we scored."
It's funny because they talk a lot about Lamar Jackson, like missing games. But this is the second time I've seen Patrick Mahomes have to leave a playoff game because of an injury.
Yeah, I mean, he was furious. You could tell. Like, he was just looking on the sideline. He's like, "All right, did we move the ball?" This is what I would have done. We would have went further.
So, also in that game, Christian Kirk sold hella. Drops a wide open, would have been a 60-something yard touchdown pass. Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing as well. And, you know, the Chiefs' defense, it was all right. There was nothing really to that game, you know. It was really a boring, that's why they had the Saturday 3 o'clock slot.
I don't know. Mahomes was, like, diming it up. Like,
he was diming it.
He was more than watching that game for me before he got hurt.
Yeah, it was going to be a blowout if it wasn't for that.
But here's the thing. Even if Mahomes was hurt, like, dude, Chad Henne would have finished that game. Like, he was on fire. It took him 97 yards.
Yeah.
Again, like,
credit to Chad Henne.
Oh, we were talking about credit to Chad Henne. Guys, possible. Pacheco. Pacheco, come on.
And Pacheco, yeah, Pacheco really had 35 of those hard-earned yards.
Yeah, listen, come on, Pacheco.
Yeah, no, really. No.
I watched that one on the plane.
Oh, nice.
Oh, did you allowed to watch.
Yeah. United Airlines had DirecTV.
Wait, but don't you get all the football games on DirecTV?
Yeah, like every single DirecTV channel. I'm like, all right, because no, I don't know anybody that has DirecTV except for like local bars. So when you're flying over the Gulf of Mexico, like you don't have Wi-Fi or anything. You only have it in continental U.S.
Yeah. I mean,
but yeah. So once we got over Florida,
I'm sorry. You're one of those rich people who fly United, bro. I fly Spirit. I'm sorry. I have to pay for my bags. I have to pay for my seat too.
I paid for my seat. I paid for my seat and bag.
I'm sorry. I don't get that. Why do I have to? I'm paying for the. What's the ticket for?
A bag.
For a seat on the plane. Why do I have to pay?
I think it's the actual boarding pass document
for the piece of paper. You can get it on your phone now.
That you can electively choose to print.
Right.
Flying is meant to be an experience.
For the barcode. That's what you want. The barcode.
You pay for the
airlines
barcode.
Airlines look at it as like, yeah, flying is an experience. You're paying for the experience. Do you want, you know, extra legroom with your experience? Do you want, $500. You know, overweight bag for your experience?
It's $400.
No, bro. Back in the day.
You want some pretzels?
Back in the $600. Day, flying was legitimately an experience where I could smoke on the plane and shit like that. That's an experience. That's an experience.
People were like, that was allowed.
I really can't.
Well, I mean, don't they filter out all the air?
Crazy fire hazard. Crazy.
You got the windows flying out. Yo, that'd be cold as shit.
What if you can open the window, like crack it down?
So you can't. What do you mean I can't put this down?
I'm trying to ash myself.
Like somebody just opens the freaking the emergency door. Is like, I was trying to ash.
I didn't want to ash on the plane.
I'm dead. Let's move on. Let's talk about the other AFC divisional game between the Bengals and the Bills. This game, gosh, AFC is just really boring. We should have seen this coming from a year ago. The same two teams that were left in the AFC last year are the same two teams left in the AFC this year. Chiefs and the Bengals. Bengals, in a snowstorm, move on and ground the Bills. The Bills have the home field advantage. The Bills have the home field advantage.
DeMar Hamlin's back.
It was a DeMar Hamlin game. They had the snow. Everything should have went the Bills' way. Yet they got shut down and lose 27-10. Josh Allen, he shouldn't be in the top five quarterback conversation.
He's I don't understand how he's an MVP finalist.
I don't either.
Like, yeah,
that was so childish.
It is.
And then they want to blow up.
The Bills' play calling is very childish.
Oh, it is. And the biggest storyline is
Stephon Diggs.
They just want to highlight Stephon Diggs. No, I'd be upset too.
Jeff, the thing is, 3 years in a row.
It's upsetting, and I don't think people understand this because they're just scared to be competitive and stuff. First of all, Stephon Diggs and the relationship between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, like they're best bros, like they're great brothers, you know, best buddies, on and off the field. So the fact that you know they're losing. And you're not even to give your guy, your wide receiver, one a chance. You know, that fourth down, he wants, just throw it up to him. Throw it up to him. Well, I don't know who got, I think it went to Gabe Davis, I guess. Gabe Davis, who had a 4-touchdown playoff game, hasn't done shit since, pretty much. You know, it's so upsetting. And that's where the frustration lies. I'm mad. I'd be mad, too, if I'm a receiver. Look at A.J. Brown. They blew him out by 31 points. He's mad. He didn't contribute enough, you know? So I would be mad, too, especially if you're losing and you know the game's over. Just throw it to me, man. Give me a shot. I thought we were boys. You see me? Come on now. That was really upsetting.
He left the stadium, but then they brought him back. One of his teammates brought him back. Yeah, I mean, but honestly, that's perfectly normal, especially when you lose 3 years in a row in heartbreaking fashion, especially last year, which was basically at the game one, but they couldn't do anything about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about Josh Allen for, like, in his decline for about, I mean, like, the last 2 months now. Like, I'm sick and tired of it.
Also, really, really, they had a big loss this year. Let's not forget Von Miller.
Yeah, you know, and it went downhill ever since
Von Miller was active. He was like, I want to play. Like, I can play.
Man, all right, yeah, let me go on a quick tangent and, like, rip on the fucking Bills right now. They signed a 33 or 34-year-old Von Miller to a 5-year, $140 million contract, something like that. And you know who's getting hit and sacked all the time and running for his life? Josh Allen. Why don't you just spend that money on Josh Allen? Why don't you get him another freaking wide receiver instead of get Cole Beasley out of retirement? You know?
Cole Beasley didn't make a playoff
appearance. Get a real passing back. They wanted to get J.D. McKissick and then didn't end up getting J.D. McKissick and then did nothing with that.
They could have actually made something of that.
Terrible. You know? Yeah, and this guy, Brandon Bean, their GM, today says about Ja'Marr Chase, he was just like, it's similar to what like Mike Tomlin said of Chase Young. He's like, I don't want to suck bad enough to get a Ja'Marr Chase. Look at Ja'Marr Chase is about to play in his second Super Bowl.
That's the best option on the board.
You know,
go for that.
That guy, he's an idiot.
Like, yeah, scouts are idiots too. Some scouts are just, they get it wrong.
Like, that guy's actually an idiot. You know, I'm sorry. Like, you guys got Josh Allen and you guys supported him with nothing. You know, James Cook. Well, I thought he was gonna be a good running back. Yeah. What happened with James Cook? You know,
he was their third down receiving back.
You guys got Nyheim Hines in the middle of the season, and you guys just put him at kick return.
They're not built to run the ball. I mean, Singletary's all right.
Well, they did finish the elite. They finished the league with the most, like, yards after the run, which is funny because a lot of that came from Josh Allen.
Josh Allen!
Like, and it wasn't like, don't get me wrong, Singletary had probably a good season. I don't know if they've had 1,000 yards rushing because that really what separates you guys from the other running backs. Still, they ran the ball effectively, but it's like, you do need another wide receiver in the conversation. Literally. Just one more.
One more!
They could have traded for Claypool.
Some help! You know, and I get it, they had the DeMar Hamlin situation. They went through a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but like...
But the Bengals got fucked in that. They were the ones who got the short end of that.
That's another thing I want to bring up. How the Bengals, in this whole entire situation, like, in this whole entire DeMar Hamlin situation, and are the ones who got fucked over, and they wore that with like a badge of honor, and they said, like, okay, we're going to show you guys. You know, they were selling tickets to a Bills-Chiefs AFC Championship game at Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Better send those refunds.
At Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I mean. You know, like, the audacity, NFL. The audacity. The audacity for you guys.
They're going to go for the money.
Literally. The Bengals felt so disrespected by that. So I'm glad they went into freaking Joe Burrow and company. Went in there. Looked like a legitimate football team.
In the white jerseys. Snow Tigers.
Imagine they wore the white helmets. We probably wouldn't see them on the field.
Cheat code. The refs didn't see Ja'Marr Chase in the end zone for the second time. Bro, that's a touchdown, by the way.
You know what's funny? Because, like, that's a touchdown. In the field of play, that's a catch. In the end zone, it's not a touchdown.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, but whatever. I mean, I get it.
Also, they did the thing where, like, the end zone was, like, two different colors. It was, like, a little bit of white.
Yeah.
And then it faded into, like, whatever. I think it was, like, blue or some shit.
Yeah.
And it's snowing.
The fact, you know, and the fact that they went into Buffalo in the snow and did that, you know, is
Joe Burrow is probably the greatest quarterback right now.
We were shitting on Zach Taylor, too. Like, that guy's a good coach.
Oh, he's a good coach.
Yeah. I didn't know he was Press Taylor's brother, the Eagles offensive coordinator, when Carson Wentz threw, like, 20 interceptions.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was random. But, yeah, he is indeed a very, very good coach.
He's a fantastic
quarterback as well.
Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's that, yo.
This guy is literally a generational talent.
He's it. I'm trying to use him. Everybody's at him.
He's it.
No, he's Tom Brady, he's 2.0.
Oh,
100%.
He's Joe Scheisty. He's Joe Scheisty. He's one of a kind. And Jalen Hurts is one of a kind, too.
They go in there and dominate. Joe Mixon gets over 100 yards. When was the last time Joe Mixon ran for, like, over 50 yards?
He was making it look easy.
Also,
I think the snow made it harder for the defense of both sides.
How?
I mean, they were missing tackles.
The Bengals were making tackles.
Yeah.
Bills, who supposed to...
Matt Milano's the one who made tackles.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
I just put these two things together. You know, what if the NFL did the Bills a disservice by moving their games out of the blizzard?
And made them play in the Lions Stadium.
What if that did the Bills a disservice? Because Bills didn't know how to handle the snow.
They got fucked over in their own home. The Bears are like, it's not snowing in Cincinnati.
Like I said, dude, Cincinnati's cold too. You know, no one's talking about Cincinnati.
Forecast was just scheduled for wind in there, in Cincinnati.
I mean, yeah, they got the river there and stuff like that. But it gets cold out in Cincinnati too. But shout out to the Bengals for getting that dub.
See you in the championship, Joe Scheisty.
I told you guys on Saturday, I would love, like, an Eagles-Bengals Super Bowl would be very nice. I think...
Might not be too late to cash in that ticket.
The worst part about it, it's not sexy for, like, the media and, like...
That's the best matchup.
But just, like, football.
For people who know ball.
I would love watch ball. To see that matchup. I would love it.
Because there's only one
also
team.
Also, Eagles-Chiefs is something I'd...
Yeah, that'd be a good one, too. But I would rather have Joe Burrow. But the storyline's great, too, because he gets to go back to the Super Bowl after the Rams collapse. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yo, now we got it. We can prove this shit. Yeah. Even with, you know, I think they got one more piece of their offensive line. I think they signed somebody from the Patriots. I'm not sure.
They're playing. It's funny because they played that game against the Bills without, like, three offensive linemen.
Yeah, and they played so well. He had all day to fucking throw.
But he's also smart. He runs the ball when he needs to run the ball.
Yeah. There was really one bad play from that game, I think, where he took a sack. That was basically it.
Maybe it was a good play. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, maybe it was a good play because he was like, if I throw this, I'm not in the huddle. He's like, if I throw this, someone's Tre'Davious White's going to pick it off. Like, I'm not going to take the sack. Smart IQ.
The Bills, man. You know, I'm off the Bills bandwagon. You know,
We said it was Eagles Super Bowl. I mean, Eagles Bills Super Bowl. Guess what?
I was big on the Bills, man, the last couple of years. I really liked what I saw Josh Allen. I loved the Stephon Diggs connection. Von Miller pickup I thought was huge. But
was he a 1 year deal?
Ooh.
Von Miller.
No, 5 years.
No, they want him to retire. Yeah, Bill.
It's just insane, bro. Like, how stupid.
What's the average lifespan of a pass rusher? 36, 37?
You're not supposed to. You sign him for a 1 year deal, like what you guys did with Ndamukong Suh type shit.
Yeah.
But, like, multiple years.
That's a commitment.
And you're paying him a lot of money.
And he's injured now.
Like, everything just blew up in your face, so now you look stupid, Brandon Bean.
Yeah.
Like, now you look dumb. Absolutely don't, but I regress, man. Let's do some, what do you guys think will be keys to the game for this Chiefs and
Bengals game? I'm going to go first and foremost, the easiest option we got, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase has scored every playoff game so far since last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scored. He might be, I'm not sure about last year.
The first game they didn't score. It was only Tyler Boyd who scored in the first
game. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, well, like you said, Joe Burrow is Joe Cool, Joe Scheisse, whatever you want to call him. Dude, this guy's a generation. He's playing so damn well. And with the backup pieces for the O-line, I don't think people realize how important that O-line is. Like, every single one of those guards and tackles are bodyguards, literally, for the quarterback. They're doing a great job protecting him, even with they have the chemistry. Sorry, I'm not going to say they have a lack of chemistry. Lack of play time, maybe. But Joe Burrow is going to get it done. And I really feel like this Bengals defense also is going to, like, really try to fluster Patrick Mahomes because, let's not forget, dude, these guys have beat the Chiefs 3 times in a row in the last year. Three consecutive times. Bengals have their number, and if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, I think they make it a shootout.
Well, to be honest with you, Like, you made some really great points. But I have a feeling the Chiefs are going to put it out. It's going to be a Kelce Brothers Super Bowl.
I like that.
You saw how they you saw what the Chiefs did with Chad Henne. Like, just like, this team is just
Andy Reid. This is great.
In a calendar year, if you go back within the last 365 days, the Chiefs have lost to the Bengals 3 times.
And they don't lose that many games down the stretch.
The Bengals have given the Chiefs more losses than I think the Chiefs have had in the last 2 or 3. Like,
I think that's the most losses they've had in their division altogether.
Like, shit.
Like, all the teams in the division haven't beaten them that much. They made eight straight AFC West titles.
Since 2016, they won 2.
Yeah. 2017. 15.
I don't know. 2015.
8. Yeah. It's 8. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It's 2016. 2016. Dude, 7. That's phenomenal.
The Chiefs are the new Patriots. You know,
they are the new era. Dynasty. But Joe Burrow is like, you know what they said? There's a lot of player comps. Joe Burrow is Brady, and Mahomes is Manning. I heard that a lot.
I would say the other way. I'd say Burrow is Manning.
Yeah.
Since Mahomes already has a Super Bowl.
Yeah. He's got the one.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, still Super Bowl. Yeah, I guess 2 Super Bowl appearances.
So the thing is, like, the Bengals have the Chiefs number, and even again this year, I really don't see the way the Chiefs beat them. I don't see, especially with a hurt Patrick Mahomes. I mean, and again, the Bengals got hosed out of this game. This game should be played in Cincinnati.
It should be in Cincinnati. This game should be
played in Cincy. The Bengals got hosed, and I think the Bengals are taking that like and riding it with stride. They know that they shouldn't be playing in Kansas City. They should be playing this game in Cincy.
At home.
They should have been playing in Buffalo. They should have been playing in Cincy, you know? So
they do what they do best, which is winning road playoff games.
Yeah. And, you know,
if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm scared. They came here last year and did this shit.
The thing is, the Chiefs already had a 1-game lead on the Bengals. So if the Chiefs
were... Well, the Chiefs have a 1-game lead on the Bengals because the Bengals game got canceled.
The Bengals game was a no contest.
The Bengals are 12-4, right?
Yes.
Chiefs are 14-3. They have one less loss than the Bengals.
No, Bengals won week 13. The Chiefs 18.
Are 13-4. I believe the
they're 14-3.
I believe the Bengals are... Because they lost to the Bengals. They lost to... Also, the Bengals.
I'm trying to tell you, they're 14-3. It's played out exactly how it should play out.
Oh,
keeping all things neutral.
Interesting.
And the Bengals are Bengals caught straight late, but they're 12.
Okay, the Bengals took a bad L in there, and that bad L is to the Ravens, and the Bengals have a harder division to play in as well. So, I'm gonna keep it a buck.
Yeah,
Bengals
and 6.
That is a hard
one. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Bengals and 1. You know, I love you, Mahomes, but this guy, Joe Burrow.
I'm just saying, bro. Joe Seisty is different.
And the thing is, you know, y'all couldn't win last year when y'all had a 17 point lead, or I think it was a 17 point lead. Y'all couldn't win last year, and y'all had the better team last year with Tyreek Hill. You know, and this year you guys have 0 receivers outside of
Travis Kelce.
Have 0 receivers. And if I'm the Bengals, I'm Von Bell, and whoever else is their best corner is going to be on Travis Kelce.
Jesse Bates.
I will let anybody else on that team beat me except for Travis Kelce. And if on the flip side, if I'm the Chiefs,
shut down Jamar Chase.
You shut down, okay, T.
Or T. Higgins.
And now Hayden Hurst. And now Joe Mixon.
This is why an Eagles, Chiefs, Bengals Super Bowl is what we need.
Eagles, Chiefs, Bengals match. Super Bowl.
No, fuck the Chiefs. Get the Chiefs out. I'm just going based off man for man. Like, one-on-one plays, as Michael Irvin says. Can I beat that man right there?
Hey, I really like Bengals in this one. I really do. They have the Chiefs' number. They just know how to beat them. And especially now, we have an injured Mahomes. I don't see any way the Chiefs can win. I really don't. You know, Bengals are coming in high too, man. They're coming in hot.
They better pray they don't get off to a hot start. Andy Reid, you better defer. You better defer.
I think the Chiefs are going to come out. We're going to see you.
You just really want that redemption arc. You want that Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl.
I would like that, too, because I do have a ticket on DraftKings, which is Eagles-Chiefs. But, you know, I'd rather, as a ball watcher, I want the Bengals in the Super Bowl with us.
As a ball watcher, I'd want...
And if I have to have Brock Purdy versus... If I see Brock Purdy versus Patrick Mahomes again, oh, boy, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, for real, you know. But, yeah, I got the Bengals in this one. I like Bengals and Eagles. So we'll see what that has in store for us. They should be really great games. First game should be a hell of a defensive battle. Definitely hard-hitting matchup between the Eagles and the 49ers. Second game, hopefully we get some high-flying offensive action, but I think that one will also be kind of in the low scoring end. So I'd say like around 20-17, 19-16 maybe in that game. I can see kind of playing out how the Ravens and the Ravens Bengals playoff game ended, played out.
I'm going to go, my final score is going to be 36 for the Bengals.
Okay, I like it.
29 for the Chiefs.
I'm going to go 31-28 Chiefs.
I like it.
Harrison Butker at the gun, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, he might have the yips. He's looking. I mean, it might be too loud. Who knows?
Sorry. No, I want to take it back.
We got a new score. He just remembered. Alternate spread.
26-20 Chiefs, or 26-23.
Okay. I like it. Okay.
All right. We got a nice kickoff game over there. Kickers everywhere. Field goal here. Field goal there.
Now, who's gonna win the Pro Bowl?
Flag football. Samaje Perine scored, huh? Bet you didn't have that on your bingo ticket.
But yeah, so that wraps up this episode. We talked a little bit about NFL playoffs, obviously divisional round wrap up. Catch us next week. Hopefully you guys enjoy these games, and we'll see y'all next week.